And just have them ready. Open them up to, for one thing, Luke chapter 21, and have them be ready, because we're going to be moving around in the Bible this morning, and we are not going to be starting our regularly scheduled book. We're going to be going through the book of Corinthians in a few weeks, starting in 1 Corinthians, but we're not doing that today. We have really the need of us getting together right now this morning in light of the fact that we've been gone a few weeks with many of you in Israel and in Rome on our Holy Land tour. And it's kind of funny. I know, by the way, I'm starting to pick up on those who come to church sometimes. Oh, yeah, there's those who come to church sometimes. Because I was in the market the other day, and I bumped into somebody, or somebody bumped into me, and they began talking about the message and about this and about that and the other. And I said, well, I don't know. I wasn't there last week. And the person said, well, I haven't been there for the last few weeks. So how's it going, Pastor Jack? And I said, well, I don't know. I haven't been there for the last few weeks either. And it's kind of interesting because we can't really experience all that God wants us to do in a hit-and-miss shotgun kind of spiritual existence or diet. We need the Lord every day, church. We need Him all the time. And so this morning, it's going to kind of be, yeah, a teaching. We're going to be in the Word of God, a lot of stuff to share with you. I want to make sure I watch the clock because I probably have too much to share with you. But I'm going to ask you to mark this down and to also Facebook or Twitter your friends, call them. If anybody uses phones anymore, call them. And let them know that for the next 3 weeks, starting today and May 16th and May 23rd, we're going to be looking at special topics regarding what's going on in the world. A lot of people are asking that right now. It's driving a lot of the news programs right now, what's going on in the world. And so the title of this morning's message is, what in the world is going on and what's going to happen next? People are asking these questions. And I feel very excited about talking about it because, as I said, we've been in Israel. And we've been in Europe. We've seen what's going on. And my goodness, the dilemma that the volcano has been causing and now is causing again. And by the way, did you hear this morning? About 12:30 our time this morning, Indonesia was hit by a 7.2 to a 7.4 earthquake. And they don't know how many people have been affected. But there's a tsunami warning right now throughout the effect of the entire Pacific. Again, massive things taking place, and people are asking, are these the last days? What's going on? What's happening? Nobody can deny the fact, my friend, that we're living in challenging times. Absolutely amazing. So this morning, I'm going to try to keep you awake because some people don't want to hear about this stuff. I've already instructed the ushers to lock the doors. You're not leaving. You need to hear this because you need to understand that as Christians, we don't need to panic at a time like this. This is our day. These are our times. People are running around, oh, what's going to happen? What's going to happen next? Oh, hey, listen, Christian, stand up, man, and get your Bible out. I'm pumped. I got to tell you, I'm excited. Because I had a chance. I laid in my bed that night, and I just laid there, and I thanked God because I had a chance the other day to be at the base, just outside the entrance of the Colosseum in Rome, between the Colosseum and the Roman Forum. And I had a chance for an hour and a half to share the gospel with a young lady, and about 30 people were gathered around, and a couple people from Tokyo came by with their video, and they started videoing this witnessing thing that was going on. And when I laid down that night in my hotel room, I said, God, thank you, I got to share the gospel that Paul shared in Rome. And I had a chance to do that. And listen, when you do that stuff, if it's Rome, or if it's Ramona, or Pomona, or Corona, or any other Ona, there's nothing like it. There is nothing like it. And I'm so excited that we have the Bible, that we have the God of the Bible. But you can't deny that we're living in amazing days. And these are not the days to panic. These are our days. Luke chapter 21, verse 25. Jesus said, and there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, atmospheric disturbances. Now that has not yet happened. But Jesus said, watch for it. But this is happening now. And on the earth, distress of nations. And here's the word, with perplexity. The sea and the waves roaring. In Luke 21, 25, the word in the Greek perplexity means this. You better write it down. It's shocking in light of today's news. perplexity. Jesus said the nations will be in distress with perplexity. The word means to be left without resources, to be left wanting, embarrassed. The word means to be in doubt and fear. The word means to not know what to do, nor which way to turn. Jesus said that. Skeptic in the house, unbeliever. Jesus said, the days are coming in the future, near the culmination of time, when the nations of the world will have no way out. They will be at their resources' ends, and they will begin to panic. They'll see no way of being rescued. Of course, you and I know that there is a fake Christ, a false Christ, that all of that type of scenario sets up for him to ride in on. And we know him in the Bible as the Antichrist. But what the Bible says about our days is truly awesome. And so, church, it's time for you and I to literally grow up spiritually. And I don't mean that in a good way only. I mean it in a sarcastic way as well. So there, deal with it. When I mean grow up, I mean take your feelings and put them back up under your sleeve where they belong. It's time to stop being petty. It's time to stop being worrisome about silly things and be focused on the things of God. It's time to put relationships back together again rather than tear them apart. It's time to button your lip and praise the Lord, because we've got serious things coming to our world. They're starting to show its great signs. The Bible warns this. Romans 13:11 says, and know this, do this, says the Bible, knowing that the time, that is high time that we awake out of our sleep, for now is our salvation near or closer than when we first believed. Isn't that an amazing truth? Our salvation is closer than ever before. So listen, I want to tell you right now, my motive for this morning's message is found in Scripture. If you want to get upset with me, just know I'm using this as my protection. Jude verse 20 says, but you, dear friends, you must continue to build your lives on the foundation of your holy faith and continue to pray as you are directed by the Holy Spirit. Live in such a way that God's love can bless you as you wait for the eternal life that our Lord Jesus Christ in His mercy is going to give you. Verse 22, show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. Wow, what a great verse. That's my passion this morning for you. 10 things by the grace of God. 10 things I'm going to give you this morning. Are you guys ready? Going to go fast. Number one, here it is. Write it down. The word is stop. S-T-O-P. Stop. Stop growing. Listen. Stop the growing ignorance of biblical truth. It's unbelievable the things that we've experienced in our trip. We went from the highs of Israel, Bible, understanding of Bible, literal Bible, where you open up the Scriptures and you turn and then you stand in the spot and you go, wow, God, thank you for my faith that's founded upon your word. And I can open up your word and stand in the place. Amazing. But also this, then to get on an airplane and fly to Rome and to literally, I'm not making this up, to literally see a cathedral, something. I mean, there's 366 churches in just the city of Rome proper that are beyond ornate. I don't know how to tell it to you. Beyond ornate. In fact, I saw some that I thought looked more fantastic than the Vatican. And all we're trying to do is build an East Wing building for kids ministry. Anyway, wow. All of this stuff. And it's the church of the whatsoever the name is, and you ask your tour guide, what does that name mean? Oh, the name means that this church was built here because someone back in the 13th century saw the face of Saint John on a tree leaf. And so we built a church here. Are you kidding me? Be careful about the growing presence of biblical ignorance. Less and less of Bibles being taught in churches all around the world. More and more of how to get rich, how to get happy, how to improve your golf swing, how to have 12 steps to this or that in a church. Unworthy of the steeple or unworthy of the cross. It's never preached. What's going on in the world today is a lazy faith. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles 12:32, that the sons of Issachar, one of the tribes of Israel, who had understanding of the times, knew what Israel ought to do. And church, that's my prayer for you. I pray that for you. Oh Lord God, I pray that the church at Chino Hills would have understanding of the times in which it lives and that it would know what to do. These are tremendous times. How can the church or America know what should be going on next in the direction or the path that we should take without having the Bible as our guide and as our counsel? How in the world can we know what to do next? The Bible has the answer for every bit of man's dilemma, every one of them. But the world has gone amok because the world's not consulting the Bible. You say, Jack, you sound like some religious nut. Bible, 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 Bible. Listen, the Bible addresses everything that man deals with and how to deal with it. And it all starts with this. Jesus said in Revelation 3:7, to the angel of the church at Philadelphia, and that's another prayer of mine. The word Philadelphia is brotherly love. Oh, dear God, please make the church at Chino Hills a church of brotherly love. Jesus said, I know your works. Revelation 3, verse 8, as he speaks to that church in Asia. Look, I have set before you an open door. No one can shut it. And because you have a little bit of strength and you have kept my word, you have not denied my name. Church, how will we, are you listening, everybody? How will you and I not deny God's name until the end? How will we stand not denying the name of God? Jesus said it's this way, by not denying my word. Whenever there's a gathering together of people in the name of Jesus Christ without the word of God, it is denying his name. Think about it. Jesus said it's the word. It's the Bible. Biblical ignorance is growing. Well, I know this, but my friends say that. Oh, I know, you know what, I read somewhere in the Bible, but I feel like Bible, 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 my friend, turn to the Bible. Don't get nervous about what's going on in the world around us. Get educated in the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, he says, I do not want you to be ignorant of these last days events. The word means don't be willfully rejecting the truth. Biblical understanding will be your only defense against the gospel of Oprah Winfrey and Al Gore's Mother Earth doctrine. This is a serious issue. There's now a new chant, and I don't know, you ought to look at, go ahead and look it up. Look it up. Look up the new vow. There's a pledge that you and I are expected to make to the earth. Did you know that we've offended our mother? You said, Jack, it's Mother's Day. I'm not talking about my mama. I'm talking about what the new thing is. We need to pledge allegiance to Mama Earth because we've hurt her feelings. And we've upset her, and she's angry. And so she's spewing volcanoes. You think I'm making it up? You haven't been to Hollywood in a while, have you? Go to Laguna Beach.
Don't go there.
Take a drive to Santa Barbara. Go to Sedona, Arizona, where people drive around with pyramids on their heads. Trying to get that power, that harmonic convergence. She's speaking to us. How about God speaking to us from the Bible?
Amen.
It's amazing. Try it. You'll be quite blessed and quite happy when you hear what God is saying. The Bible says in Romans, listen, you say, well, what's going to happen next? Well, the Bible says, Romans chapter 1, verse 24. It says, therefore, God also will give them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, and who exchange the truth of God for the lie. Really? Yep. It says, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. Tremendous. I almost sound like a terrorist speaking like this. I love God's creation. I take care of it. Come to my house. I got birds everywhere. I mow my lawn. My trees are green. I like going to Home Depot and Lowe's and planting plants. I love the environment in the sense that God provided it.
Yeah.
But to bow down and say, oh, mighty tree. No, but I will bow down and say, oh, God, who makes mighty trees. You're awesome. If this ocean is amazing, you're amazing more. If that whale is amazing to look at and to enjoy, oh, God, how wonderful are your works. There's a fine line between what's rational and irrational when it comes to a lack of Bible ignorance in our lives. Number two, jot it down, it's this. It's going a crazy direction in the world, and what's going to happen next? Number two, expect. Expect. Expect a universal breakdown in governments. Boy, I got an earful of this in Europe and in the Middle East these last 2 weeks. Worldwide leadership, church, is failing. I've never really endorsed you to watch the news, but now it's too late. Turn it on. Get your Bible open and turn it on. Because with Bible open and you're watching what's going on in the world, it's like, wow, my Bible said this would happen. You guys, human governments are failing. All of this is paving the way for the coming of the Antichrist. All the governments are going down. They don't know what to do. Isn't that what Jesus said in the opening verse? Nations will be in perplexity, not knowing what to do. And nations right now don't know what to do. We just came from Italy. What was there? We were there and we saw tremendous, tremendous, famous archaeological sites like Prada, Gucci. That was a joke. Is this the early service or what? Did you know Italy's broke? We'll talk more on that in a moment, but it's in deep trouble. Worldwide leadership. Governments are failing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 says, "But concerning the times and the seasons," I love this. Nobody knows the day or the hour that the Lord's coming for us, but we will know the times and the seasons. Says who? Says the Bible. "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. They shall not escape." Guess what? If you keep reading 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, there is a group of people mentioned there who does escape. And they're called Christians. Nobody knows the day or the hour. And the Lord is going to come like a thief in the night, but not to you. The Bible says that day will not overtake us as a thief of the night. Again, reminding you that in Luke 21, 25 and in 26, where the Bible says that it's the distress of nations. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to get out of their situation. They've run out of resources. And that word perplexity, verse 26 goes on of Luke chapter 21. It says, "Men's hearts failing them from fear for the expectation of those things which are coming upon the earth." Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Bible. The Bible says there's going to come a time when people who don't know God, their hearts are going to be panicking. Look at that. Their hearts will fail them. Physically, their hearts will fail. Heart attacks. Because of what? Because of fear. Why? Because of the anticipation, expectation, worry regarding those things which are coming upon the earth. Not for you, Christian. These are our days. So we hear an earthquake this morning. 7.2, 7.4 in Indonesia. We need to pray for them. We prayed in the green room this morning. That's the largest Muslim populated nation on the planet. And they're freaking out right now. Okay, you know what? How do we pray as Christians? Lord, show them your love. Show them your truth. Rescue them. Give them the Jesus they don't know. The earth is shaking. More on that in a moment. So what's going to happen next? You're not going to like this word, but if I tell you in advance, it'll take the sting out of it a little bit. What's going to happen next? Let me put it to you this way. Are you prepared for the big one? See, what big one? And that's a good question. What big one? Well, the real big one, the big one is Jesus coming today. That's the big one. Do you remember a couple of Sundays ago? It wasn't a couple of Sundays ago. It was a couple of months ago. We were here during the service, and there was a little minor earthquake, and the screen started shaking. Well, you know when the big one hits? It's human nature to, run, and whatever you're supposed to do, roll on the ground, cover your head, who knows what. I don't know what you're supposed to do anymore, but that's regarding an earthquake. What are you going to do when the trumpet blast happens? Are you ready for the big one? It's the coming of the Lord. But listen, what if the Lord doesn't come today or tomorrow or next week, next month, next year? What if chaos breaks out in America? Excuse me. Would you have ever thought 1 year ago that I would be talking to you about chaos in America, and now it's on the front page of our newspapers and being covered by the news, and some news channels refusing to cover the chaos that's breaking out in America? Well, that leads us to point number three, and it's this. Watch. What's going on? What's going to happen next, church? Listen, watch the need for worldwide financial network. Watch for the coming, for the talk, for the debate and dialogue of the only way out of this situation around the world that is causing chaos is the need for a worldwide financial network. And I'm not talking about Bank of America, Wachovia, or UBS, or IBU, or We Be Nobody, or whatever it's called. I'm going to ask you to put your eyes to the screen and look at some of the things that are taking place regarding Greece and all of this stuff. And look at this, you guys. This is not a joke. That is a $2 euro. That's a $2 euro. Back up. There you go. $2 euro. Can you see it, everybody? This is not made up. This is not Photoshop. This is out of the pocket, taken picture of a Greek euro. This is Europa riding Zeus over the seas of the world. Ancient European god and goddess. Isn't it interesting? Don't you find it interesting that Greece is right now a nation in Europe that is causing the entire EU to be brought down into a vortex of financial destruction? Europe is considering an absolute financial crisis, and it's beginning with the nation of Greece, and its symbol is a woman riding a beast. Isn't that interesting? Is that a coincidence? Maybe. I don't know. Next slide. Check this out. Spain just barely gets out of this recession, but a dark cloud looms or remains. And there's international investors saying Spain's in trouble. Spain's going down next. Next slide. I don't know how many we've got, but we've got some. Look at this. From the European Express. The future of Europe is at stake. This is a European paper. Happening now, this week. Next slide. Christian, listen, this is our time. The Washington Post, down at the bottom, left-hand side. Greece's debt paying sparks violence. Violence. Listen, why would no one starve? Are you listening, everyone? No one is starving in Greece right now. No one's been thrown out of their homes. Why are they going after this police officer? Why are they attacking him? You're not going to like what I have to say, but I'm not the one making it up. What's going on with that? Look at the people in the streets protesting against the current economic crisis. And just a few days ago, several people were killed. Next slide. Jerusalem Post. Bottom left-hand corner. What's it say? Greek day of rage turns deadly. Greece is out of control. Breaks my heart. I've been there. The people are precious. Look at this. Streets of Greece. Protests in Greece turn deadly. New York Times this week. Next slide. Is that it? More? There's more. Stocks plunge on mounting fears of European debt crisis. You think America was in trouble? America is in trouble. People have done the math and they found out the European Union is in worse trouble than the United States of America is. Just when we thought we were the bad apples in the bucket. Europe's in deep trouble, you guys. And what is the Bible? Those of you who know Bible prophecy, the Bible tells us that out of the ancient Roman Empire, the Antichrist will arise. And the Bible says that he's going to provide peace and prosperity. And what is Europe in need of right now? You say, Jack, are you saying that the Antichrist is? I'm saying I believe he's alive somewhere on planet Earth. And I believe the stage is being set. For me to not believe that would be negligent. Greece, Spain, Portugal, Italy, England, Germany. The only country that's as close to those other countries in peril is California. Did you know that? I'm not making it up. What's needed is a worldwide financial reboot, commentators have said, of the global economies. To make it the economy, a one unified economic communal economy so that it could never fail again. Ladies and gentlemen, my Bible tells me in Revelation 13:16 that he, the Antichrist, will cause all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except the one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And here is wisdom. Let him, he who understands, calculate the number of the beast, the Antichrist. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. You know how you have 909 or 949 or 626 on your phone? Or your prefix on your social security number? I had a military man tell me, Pastor Jack, am I going to be, listen to this. Pastor Jack, I have to receive a microchip in my hand. I'm going to be deployed on a secret mission. I'll have no identity. They're going to track me from space. I got to have it in my hand. Am I accepting the mark of the beast? No. We may very well make it to that technology to where it's on your right hand or on your forehead. The technology. It may be next year. It's definitely the way to stop terrorism. It's definitely the way to stop illegal alien and border crossings that are taking place around the world. It's definitely the way to stop counterfeiting. A cashless numerical system embossed upon the hand or the head of every human being. It's brilliant. The only problem is Satan's going to use it. Hey, isn't an iPod brilliant? Isn't a telephone brilliant? You can use it for good or you can use it for bad. Think of that. My Bible tells me about this. And when my Bible tells me about this, it causes me to say, my God knows. You guys don't sound very convinced right now. Number four, what's going on and what's going to happen next? Prepare. Prepare for an escalation of natural disasters. Do I need to talk about this? Should I just move on to point number five? I mean, this is ridiculous. Here's your homework. You can do a 10-minute search. I've done it. You can do a 10-minute search on either Safari or Google or whatever you use. And it will reveal that there's been more large-scale natural events taking place in our last 5 years than at any other time of recorded human history, ladies and gentlemen. You name the event, and we've got bigger ones and more of them. Hurricane, tornado, storm, volcano, earthquakes, go, go, go. Prepare for an escalation of natural disasters. Why? Jesus said that in the Gospels. Matthew chapter 24, Luke chapter 21, Mark chapter 13. Number five, what's going on? What's going to happen next? No. Have knowledge that there's global warnings and they're increasing. Global warnings. And they are increasing. Man's inability to cope with issues. Listen, this is important to me. Man's inability to cope with issues. America's youth and Europe's youth are unable to deal with difficulties and challenges. People, listen to me. You know how we have these family events coming up for you to invest in your kids? This is serious. Do you know that kids today in America do not know? Listen, you're not going to like what I'm going to say. And maybe I'm just showing my age. But my dad, I remember when my dad grabbed me by the shirt and I was about 9 years old and he said, come on, it's Saturday morning, I'm signing you up for football. And we marched down to the local park. And my dad signed me up for contact sports. You know, helmet, shoulder pads. Now today, I don't want to teach my kids violence. Listen. You learn teamwork. You learn how to take it when someone yells at you. I've had coaches from when I was 9 years old all the way up through high school years in ball. Spit on me, call me all kinds of names. They even called me a girl. You run like a girl. What are you going to do about that? Oh. Kids today are learning how to call the ACLU instead of dealing with things. Come on, toughen up. And listen, anybody, do you understand this? It takes no character to win. Doesn't take any character to win. It is easy to win. Remember, okay, when I was 9 years old, guess what we did? We went and won the state championship in junior All-American football. We were undefeated. You know what? That was easy. The next year, we thought we were going to do it again. Guess what happened? It takes character to lose. You say, what are you trying to tell us to be a loser? I'm trying to tell you that not everybody is going to win. And you learn a lot more about life when you lose a few bouts than from winning. And today, we've got people who are absolutely don't even show up for the game getting the trophy. This is wrong. You say, why are you so hot on this? Because it creates an inability within the human being to deal with life's difficulties. Can someone agree with me that life is hard? And the way that we make it is by getting through battles. Second Timothy chapter 3 says, know this, oh boy, know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. The word means to wear down. It means, you know, like a plane that a contractor uses, a woodworker. Perilous times will wear out the believers. Wow. For men will be lovers of themselves. Well, that'll never happen. Lovers of money. Really? Boasters. Proud. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. Boy, I'm glad that happens in other places, but not here. Unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control. Can you imagine? This is a very dangerous person. Brutal, despisers of good, traitors. You can't believe a word they say. They'll shake your hand, they'll sign the contract, and turn around and sue you. Haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. Oh, that's great. They go to church on Sundays, but they deny its power. And from such people turn away, for of this sort are those who creep into households and make captive gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts. The real housewives of Orange County. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. A Christless culture is incapable of dealing with life's difficulties. You guys, you need to pray for not only California, pray locally, pray nationally, but there's a great movement in America, and it's already been accepted. I believe it's in 28 states where the Bible is being brought back in as literature. And kids are now being allowed to read the Bible. Well, guess what happens if all the kids in America began to read, "Thou shalt not murder"? Is that a bad idea? Wow. Well, no, the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, that we are to be anxious for nothing. You say, Jack, are you kidding me? With all that you're telling me right now, I'm not supposed to worry. That's right. You're not supposed to be anxious for nothing. Don't be a nail biter. Number two, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. Ooh, hello. Everybody listen. How do you stop worrying? How do you stop being a nail biter? Look on the screen. This is how you stop being a worrier. You can put mail locks and Tums out of business if you do this. Pray, make supplication to God, that is, cry out to Him with thanksgiving. Watch what happens. Let your request be made known to God. Listen, when's the last time you got on the phone and complained to your friend about how stinky your life was? Why don't you hang up and talk to God about it? I know this is kind of a punch in the tummy, but this is what we need. You guys, this is what we need. Listen. Let God know what you need. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will garrison. That's an army word. God will dispatch an army to guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's the truth of God. You memorize that verse, and you'll whip worrying. You guys, I had a young lady come up to me last Wednesday night, I think. I don't remember where I was at. Doesn't matter. Somewhere around here. And my wife and I had met with her earlier. She's been worrying about stuff. She's like maybe 12, 13, 14 years old. She's been worrying and worrying and worrying. And I'm not going to get into the details because I don't want to protect her identity. But she's as cute as a button. And she says, I'm really worried about all this stuff because this. And I said, whoa, do you understand that God made all of this, and this? Yeah. And I'm saying, I'm curious. And Lisa and I were talking to her. And, you know what? We want to ask you a question. What do you want to be when you grow up? And she said, I would just say like a researcher, like a doctor, or like a chemist, or like an engineer. And it all clicked. That's why you're concerned about those things, because that's the gift of your life. You're going to be a researcher. That's why, see, you've been researching and you've been looking at these things and it's been freaking you out, but you've forgotten that it's God doing this in your life. She ran up to me this week and it was at the National Day of Prayer out on the grass at the Civic Center. She ran up to me and put her arms around me and she told me she loved me. I go, how you doing? She goes, I'm doing great. I go, you look like you're doing great. You concerned about something? Pray. Turn that TV off or throw it out of your house and pray. Pastor Weenie, I need to meet and talk. I got problems in my life. Listen, I love you, but don't call me until you talk to God first. Right? Think about it. Why come to me? I'm just going to say, wow, you are messed up. I mean, I don't know what you're going to do with your life. Talk to the God who made you. That's what he just said in that verse there in Philippians. Okay, what do you do with this? We have some pictures. What are you going to do about it? You going to bite your nails? Fox News. Are all these earthquakes normal? Look at this. We've pulled out some of the United States Geological Survey Earthquake Center in Golden, Colorado. The number one question they have been getting lately, is this the end of the world? Next box. I received a call from a psychiatrist who is getting an influx of patients who are really concerned about the end of days. Well, if you're not a Christian today, I'd be freaking out if I were you. You can freak out right here, right now. You're safe. We love you. Freak out. Freak out! Next slide. Look at that. Oh, man. I don't know about you, but that's just God moving his baby finger. Next one. This is Chile, I think it is. Oh, anybody recognize that skyline? That's Nashville, you guys. Right now. Now. It's not getting much press because Nashville's full of Christians. So who wants to cover a bunch of Christians underwater? But there's a lot of brothers and sisters there, you guys. We might need to get a team together to go help them. Okay, this is Thailand. You guys, that's a picture that's recently been brought out after that. This is the tsunami coming. They didn't live. Look at their faces. Jesus said the waves of the sea will be roaring in the end. Man, if you're not a Christian, I don't know. Look at this. This is last week, the volcano, or April 17th, Reuters News. The volcano erupted in Europe. It created its own lightning storm. You know what it's called? I kid you not. Hello. Anybody awake? Listen, anybody sleeping? Wake them up. Guess what this creates? You won't believe it. Volcanic ash being put out into the atmosphere with positive and negative ionic presence in the atmosphere creates its own weather. And when the positive and negatives are at the right balance, they come against each other. And there's a collision, and there's a lightning spark. And you know what? When it hits the dust in the air, it creates something that falls to the ground. It's about 1,500 degrees minimal. Guess what it's called? Brimstone. Unbelievable. I shouldn't say that. I'm a Christian. Believable! You guys, when we left with the team to Israel, our flight had to go south across the northern part of North Africa and then up into Italy to avoid this, or up into Tel Aviv, Israel, to avoid this thing. Look at it. Volcanoes, earthquakes. This is a picture from 2 weeks ago. Next picture. Look at that. That guy's running. I'd be too, wouldn't you? That by the way, that cloud, that's poison gas in that cloud. Look at that. Amazing. I think that's it. Do we have more? Okay, that's it. Listen, we're not even close to being done. I'm in deep trouble here. Very, very, very fast. Number six, understanding the coming of the rise of ethnic divisions. The Bible says there's going to be ethnic unrest around the world. Civil unrest is just below the surface, and it's waiting to explode around the world. Greece's, you're not going to like to hear this, ladies and gentlemen. Greece's National Intelligence Service, it's their CIA, is monitoring the Middle Eastern immigrant that is fueling Greece's rioting and violence in the streets. After the fall of the wall in Russia, Greece monitored a mass influx of Muslims coming out of southern Russia into Greece. And now the National Intelligence Service of Greece is saying that these people, young people, are taking advantage and causing violent turmoils in the streets. This is the word out of Greece. Jesus said, watch out. In Matthew 24, verse 7, he said, ethnic groups will rise up against ethnic groups. Amazing. We can run through the pictures right now of what's happening in our own borders and what's going to escalate more. I hate to tell you this, but it's going to escalate more. You guys, this is just last week. If Arizona doesn't defend itself against this federal government, Arizona's in deep trouble. Listen, that one sign says we are all Arizona. That's true if you're inside Arizona legally. Why do you think we have laws? The moment, listen, you may say, well, I'd like to talk to you about that. Forget it. Here's my point. When law begins to break down, then you can't defend any laws. Then rape becomes acceptable. If you let one law slide, the whole thing goes over, because our founding fathers said our Constitution only works for a moral and religious people. Thousands march face off on immigration, anger. People are angry. Amazing. Well, number seven, very quickly. Number seven is this: rejoice against all odds. Hey, there's some good news in the earth, everybody. Rejoice against all odds. Israel remains. We just came from Israel, and it has one of the, if not fastest growing economies on the planet. In fact, there's a book out. I highly recommend you read it. It's called The Startup Nation. Israel's economic strength is exploding. I'm not at liberty to tell you how much natural gas Israel has discovered. I'm not at liberty to tell you how much. I'm not at liberty to tell you how much oil Israel has discovered. Amen. But let me tell you something. Israel don't need nobody. I'm not at liberty to tell you some of the things that I was told about Israel and its ability to defend itself against its lunatic neighborhood that it lives in. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, contrary to CNN and the UN, Israel's here to stay. Next week, next Friday, May 14th, will be Israel's 62nd birthday again. Osama bin Laden, remember that guy? Osama bin Laden, in 2008, said, regarding the celebration of Israel's birth, he says, and I quote, "The celebration of Israel's 60th birthday indicates that Israel did not exist 60 years ago." Did you hear that? Poor guy. He needs to get out of that cave he's in and read a history book. "And is proof that it is only something that is new, and that it only came into existence to steal Palestinian land." By the way, the Roman government gave Israel the name Palestine when it took it over. "By military force. This is clear proof of the truth of our claim that Palestine is our land and that all Israelis must be fought against and destroyed. Western media of distorting the truth by presenting Israelis always as the victim while depicting the Palestinians as terrorists, and more generally for creating a distorted image of Muslims, which allows Western countries to wage war against Muslims by Western leaders. Participating in the celebration of Israel's 60th birthday anniversary is strong proof that the West assists the Jewish occupation of our land. As long as one living Muslim remains in the world, they will not relinquish even one inch of Palestinian land to the Jews. But listen, sorry, Osama. And I have to include in recent policy decisions lately, sorry, Obama. Guess what the Bible says about the Jews coming back into their own land? And by the way, there is a Jew coming back into his own land pretty soon. And ain't nobody going to tell him to stay out. The Bible says in Amos chapter 9, verse 14, I will bring them, the captives of my people Israel. They shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink wine from them, and they shall also make gardens and eat fruit from them. And I will plant them in their land, and no longer shall they be pulled up from the land that I've given them, saith the Lord your God. That's what the Bible says. But bin Laden said, bin Laden, God says Israel's not going anywhere. You say, I don't believe you. Yeah, I told you when I started this message, get your Bible out. Turn the news on and watch. One morning you're going to wake up and it's going to lead us to number 8. Anticipate a large-scale war in the Middle East. It's going to happen. War in the Middle East probably will involve Persia or Iran. It will certainly involve Lebanon and Syria. There's no doubt about that. For now, enjoy gasoline prices. What are they today? Whatever they are, enjoy them. Because when you wake up and Iran is at war with Israel, you just better make sure your bicycle works. Because you're not going to be buying gas. What's going to happen to Israel? You can read Isaiah chapter 17, verse 1 and 2. And Ezekiel chapter 36, all the way through chapter 39. And you'll know exactly what's going to happen. You'll know more than what CNN thinks they know. Number 9. Am I being sarcastic? Because I'm trying to really hard. It's about as sarcastic as I can get. I have to hurry. I'm almost out of time here. Jesus did say, by the way, that there'd be wars and rumors of wars in the last days. Number 9, discern. Discern the growing obsession with spirituality. Truth has always been the obstacle to unity, and global belief in a super religion is going to grow. Jesus says, watch out, it's going to happen. He said, broad. Listen, everybody, we're almost done. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, Matthew chapter 7. And many people are going on that path to hell. But he says, narrow is the way that leads to eternal life, and few there be that find it. It's amazing. We're seeing this tremendous obsession with spirituality that leads to death. Look at this photo or this picture. I think we have one. Not sure. Yeah. Times Square bomb suspect may have received, may have received online education in jihad. He might have. Not sure. There's a battle going on, church. Something's wrong. Jesus Christ came to set this guy free. This Jesus Christ died on the cross so that guy's sins could be forgiven. Was he ever given the gospel? I don't know him. What did he know? I don't know. Did anyone ever get to this guy? I just know that my message to the world is taken from the Bible, and that is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that even if this poor nut would have believed in him, he would not perish but have everlasting life. The book that this guy reads says that Jews and Christians must be killed. And by the grace of God, don't let anybody fool you. God is the one who's revealing these Christmas Day bombers and these Times Square bombers. And the bombers you're not hearing about in the press. God is defending America at this hour. And we thank him for that. Number 10, it is pray. Pray against the departure from faith and reason among God's people. I'm just going to wrap this up by simply saying this. I am appalled, shocked, disgusted, can't believe it. And look, if you don't attend this church, you can relax. You can put your feet up. You can put your head behind your hands. You can just take it easy. But if you attend this church, listen to this. Number 10, pray against the departure from faith and reason. I can't believe some of the stuff that I hear from people who actually own a Bible and are doing things in their lives and making decisions that are absolutely opposite of Scripture. They know what the Bible says and they don't do it. But they come to church on Wednesdays and Sundays. And their life is coming apart at the seams and they're asking the question, why? When you have the answer to your very existence in your hands. And, well, you know, if God didn't want me to take drugs, then why did he allow the drugs to be in front of me at that party? Oh, I see. It's God's fault that you got doped up and went into that room and had sex with those guys, and now you're pregnant and you don't know what to do. It's God's fault! Well, my wife wouldn't submit. She wouldn't listen to it anymore, so I struck her. Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, never underestimate a human's ability to justify themselves. This is serious stuff. I'm talking about Jesus Christ coming back and or devastating events taking place in our world, and people are playing games. And it's gussed up. You guys, you understand we're in this, and it's to the death. This is our moment to pray that our faith remains strong. That's what this is for. That's why we're here. And I know many of you have been so tempted. I've already heard about it and I've seen it. I know you're doing the disciplines of life on Wednesday nights, but American Idol's almost over. Wow. Let's pray before I get going. Heavenly Father, we're standing here right now. We're sitting here right now. The earth is shaking. The earth is vomiting volcanic fire. Indonesia's shaking. Unbelievable stuff. Governments are coming apart. World leaders don't know what to do. Israel is flourishing. Nations are under the threat of nuclear war. And we can't wait to get to the movies. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I pray. I pray, first of all, for mercy upon me and this church. I'm asking you, Father God, that you would grant your grace upon us and that you'd favor us, though we don't deserve it. And Lord, at the same time, that you would galvanize us, Lord, to action. Lord, let us go out either through old age, through persecution, earthquake, or rapture. Let us go out being busy about our Father's business. Doing what's right. Making the right decisions. Oh, Heavenly Father, move, I pray, in this church. Lord, I know that you're going to do a work in the earth. I feel it. I have that gut discernment that you're going to do something. And Jesus, I'm begging you that you would start with this church, that you'd start with me. And that, Lord, you would do something that we would just have to stand in awe. Oh, there may be earthquakes in the earth, but we're asking for a heavenly quake. That you would shake the very core of our soul. And we would say, oh, Lord, here I am. Right where you're at, right this morning, my friend, listen to me. I am not going to belabor this moment. If any of this stuff has made sense to you right now, you say yes to him. This is the same God who died on the cross for your sins, rose again from the dead. This is Jesus. And I'm asking you now, right where you're at, to say, Lord, forgive me, cleanse me, wash me, make me new. I give you my life. You tell them that now. And you get yourself a Bible. We've got them all over the place. We'll have some up here right in front of me. They're already sitting here. You grab a Bible today. You take it home. And you get into that Bible. And you call us and you meet us and you grab us and you pray with us. And you come back on Wednesday night and you gather with other believers. And you get ready. I'm going to be so bold to say, I am ready. I'm ready. Church, I'm ready. My wife is ready. My children are ready. I bug my family all the time. Are you ready? And I want to ask you, are you ready? If you're not ready, you got to get ready. How many more warnings must God give us? Let's stand in worship of our holy God. And I talked way too long. So as soon as Gia is done leading us in worship, you run out of this place like your hair is on fire, okay? God bless you.